Good morning. Nice. Thank you for joining us this morning. My name is Darren. I just want to welcome you here to our church. Resurrection Sunday. Every time I say that, it sounds like to me like before the monster trucks are coming out, right? It's like monster truck jam, right? But it's like Resurrection Sunday. No, you don't hear that? Okay. It's just me. I can handle it. But it is a big deal, and it is exciting. And when we were praying before the service, off to the side here, one of the people I was praying with prayed for, this is the reality that we need to remind ourselves every day. And I'm not sure if you think of that or often remember that, but we do need to be reminding ourselves of this every day. And as I was preparing for this morning's message, man, I couldn't help but feel like there's so much I wanted to share, so much on my heart, that this is something I think we could preach every day. And I hope this morning, when you walk from here, tomorrow you'll want to remind yourself, and the day after, and the day after, that Jesus is alive. If you have your Bibles, I wanted to take a moment just to read together from the book of Luke. I'm actually not going to be teaching from here, but I think it really sets the stage for our conversation. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Luke chapter 24. Sorry, I don't have a PowerPoint for it. I know I've said this before, but one of the things that just it touches my heart is how you see the personality sometimes, I think, of the authors when they're writing things down. Like, you know, when you're reading a letter from someone or an email or even a text message you get from someone and it just comes across, right? They can just type and send a message like, yeah, right. And in your head, you know how they're saying it and what they mean, right? Like, you have some friends, and they like, the text message could be, yeah, right? But they're actually saying it like, yeah, right. But you know that, because you know them. And when I read Scripture, sometimes some things jump out to me where I'm kind of like, I think there's a little more here being said than we can actually read. And if we only really knew the author personally, we would be like, oh yeah, that's right, I remember that. That was good, you know? Like this morning at our sunrise service, thank you to those who came. We looked at John's account in the Gospel of John. And in there, John, who writes it, he calls himself the one Jesus loved. You know, like just sort of like between pals and friends, right? And there, it's like Peter and the one that Jesus loved ran to the tomb. You know, like, can you hear it? It's personal. It's intimate. It's real, and it affects our life. And Jesus coming up to the cross, almost leading up to it, the disciples, they were blind to what was about to happen. And Jesus was very clear in saying, no, this is, I'm going to die. They didn't see it coming ahead of time. And so when it happens, their world is like so turned upside down. Think of your worst day and like, what's going to happen? This was going to be the king, the Messiah? He's dead? How can this be? This makes no sense. And then on the Sabbath day, like, could you imagine them like just sitting there? It's Passover week and it's just like, I don't want to do anything. And then the first day of the week, says some women got up first. And at sunrise, when it was okay to work again, start, right? They head out. They're going to the tomb. And Jesus' body isn't there. and it begins. It's like this, like, you know, like in Mission Impossible when the fuse gets lit and it's like, right? But like the fuse, it takes a while for the bomb to go off, like in the intro. Never mind. Okay, sorry. And but it's like that. It's like, it starts, hey, Jesus is alive. And they're kind of like, no, like I wish he was, but he's not. But Mary was there and said, right? And then Peter and John, they run to the tomb and they're like, it's empty. He's not there. I want us to read the Emmaus Road. Pastor Gary read this last week, and I just thought it just to help tie into what we've been talking about as a church. But I see Jesus, I don't want to say playing a game, but I see intimacy. I see him, instead of just coming out and being like, I'm back, you know, like, or you're welcome, right? Like he doesn't do that kind of entry, but rather he creates mystery and he makes it like this story that they want to tell, and word starts spreading, right? Luke 24, verse 13. Now that same day, so the first day of the week, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. So just picture them, right? Can you believe it? This is crazy. This is crazy. And just talking, right? You're walking along, doing life. Ah. This is not what Passover, like I can, this is the worst Passover ever. Right? As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, hey, what are you discussing together as you walk? Like, what's going on? You guys seem like you're in a conversation. What's happening? They stood still with their faces downcast. One of them, named Theophilus, asked him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here these days? Like, are you serious? Right? And Jesus' response, what things? Did you hear a little bit of it? Maybe I'm not, I know I'm emphasizing it, right? But a little bit of it's there. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hope that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. And in addition, some of the women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But they didn't see Jesus. Mystery, intrigue. What is going on? He said to them, Jesus, how foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And then beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Wouldn't that have been a cool 7-mile hike to be on? To hear Jesus unpacking this? What a treat. And I mean, like, it's not all recorded here, right? As they approach the village, so they come into the village, the three of them are walking along, they get into the village, and they're listening, probably hanging on every word, you know, and he's like, and then Jeremiah said, and then Isaiah said this, and they'd be like, wow, you're right, wow, that's crazy. And they're coming to the village, and the two of them are, like, going to go this way, right? And Jesus continued on as if he was still going a little further. So he was like, no, I'm going this way. I'm still going. No, dude, like, dude, come sit with us. Like, we want to hear more. Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he went with them to stay. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were open, and they recognized him. And then the game continues, and he disappeared from their sight. The intrigue, the mystery. I don't know why he did this, but I really think it's like closeness. Like the junior high boys, you should come hang out with us sometime. They have so many like inside jokes and things going on, and like they know what the other person thinks. They know how to push buttons. They don't even have to try. Because they're tight, they're close, they've been together for years. And when they tell stories, you should hear them tell stories. They're tripping on each other to finish the story. It's because they're close. These two guys, they're sitting there and they ask each other, were not our hearts burning within us when he talked with us on the road and opened the scripture to us? They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. They got up, headed out the door, and ran 7 miles back to Jerusalem. We got to tell everyone who we just hung out with. I want to pray, okay? Jesus, you have risen. And I don't want to make light of anything here, but I just love the story, the interaction. I pray that, Father, the things that are on my heart would be clear. And that it would encourage us to live daily a life of reminding ourselves you are alive. Amen. Now, if you're younger or junior high or even senior high or older, you want to come sit in the front here, come join us. I have a couple things I want to show you. And I might even have some suckers here. But you just come sit down. You guys just pass them amongst yourself. You guys know I wasn't picking on you guys when I was talking about you, right? Okay, good. Yeah, just sit down, front row. There you go. Yeah. Can I get one for you? Here we go. Just grab one. Thank you. Yeah, there you go. Oh, yeah, there you go. Yeah, have a seat. Do the girls want to sit in the second row? Yeah, did they not save you a spot? I'm sorry. Okay, I brought some things with me here, and tell me if you guys notice anything in common with these things here. What do you guys see? What do you guys see here? Shoes. You see shoes? Okay. Whose shoes do you think these are?
Yours.
They're mine. I wish I could say these are all my shoes. Shauna actually picks on me a little bit and says I have too many shoes. And I usually defend myself and I think, no. And as I was grabbing a few things, putting a bag to bring, I kept finding other pairs of shoes or boots in the house that I could bring. And I was kind of like, oh, she might have a point. If you guys, just looking at what I got here, all lined up, you guys know me a little bit. What do you think are my favorite ones up here? What, Julia? The boots? The work boots? Are my favorite? No.
The sandals.
You think the sandals? These ones? The flip-flops. The flip-flops are my favorite. I love my flip-flops. I love wearing them because it just makes me feel like that feeling. You know? Right? You guys know what I'm talking about. Just, it's like you might find a beach somewhere and you can just kick them off and put your feet in the sand or something, right? And I know that doesn't happen very often around here. But that's kind of my dream or my hope. Now, all of these shoes, even the ones I'm wearing, all kind of have a purpose. These are kind of like my church shoes or my good shoes. I like wearing them. I wear them when I go on a date with Shauna often. I'm like, yeah, I want to make her look good, I think, in these shoes. And what do you think these shoes are for? Horses? Yeah. I wish they were for horses. I'm just not that cool. What do you think they're for, Emery? Yeah, when I go to a cowboy show. Exactly. When I want to look like a cowboy, I wear my cowboy boots. See, in my family tree, I do have some real authentic cowboy roots. And I was telling the kids the other day some stories of with my cousins. And, like, I would go to their farm. And, of course, like, I'm the city kid. And I want to pretend I'm the farm kid. And they're like, hey, Darren, we got these steers out here. You know, like, you can ride them. Some of you have done this before. I was like, really? And they're like, oh, yeah. They're it's cool. Don't worry about the seat. Like, and we could come up, and they're like, they don't run or anything. I'm like, huh, maybe you're right. There's one eating grass. This one here, this one's the easiest one to ride, Darren. You should get on it. Will you help me on to it? Yeah, I will help you on, Darren. Don't worry about it. Okay, you guys are awesome. Yeah, you're the best, Darren. Yeah. I'm a farm kid. They help me up onto the steer, right? So I'm sitting up on the steer, and they're like, okay, now you just kind of hold on. I'm like, okay. And then one of my cousins grabs, like, this branch and just, like, shwack, right on the back of the steer. What does the steer do? He just takes off. And I'm like, holding on to the steer, right? Going. And it starts heading towards, like, this tractor. I remember this red tractor because I remember thinking, what's going to happen next? As we get closer to the tractor, the steer just instantly, like, turns to the right. I didn't stay on the steer, and I remember just going flying or whatever. And everyone gets up, and they all laughing at me, and I'm just kind of like, oh, yeah, I'm okay. I'm a farm kid. You know, like, this is no... But anyways. I have these boots here. These are probably the boots I wear the least now. These are my steel-toed boots. I kind of hold on to them. It's okay, I'll say. I kind of hold on to them because I remember, like, my dad growing up and him teaching me things. And when I was in college, and I remember there was a season of life where I didn't have much money, and I was looking for food, you know, trying to figure things out. And my dad was always like, Darren, as long as you got a pair of steel-toed boots, you can work anywhere. You can do this. And so I've always kind of held on to them because, man, those boots have gotten me through jobs that I needed when I needed money. It was like, when I needed to work hard, got the boots on, went banging on doors, found somewhere. Hey, you need someone to shovel, someone to swing a hammer, someone just to clean up, push a broom. Do you got steel-toed boots? Yeah, I got boots. Okay, yep, yeah, do it. Then I've got these shoes here. These are my running shoes. One day I want to win a race in these shoes. Emery's like, Dad, oh. In the Bible, it talks quite a bit about running a race. There's quite a few different references to running a race. I just want to share a couple with you guys, okay? In Philippians, Pastor Gary was just reading from Philippians this morning. Paul's talking, he's like, I did not run the race in vain. What do you think that means, run a race in vain? Do you have an idea, Tyler? You look like you're thinking. What do you think in vain means? For nothing, yeah. I didn't run the race for nothing. So what do you think he was trying to do? Like, what are you trying to do when you run a race? You're trying to what?
Like, finish the race and win it?
Yeah, finish a race and win it, right? He's like, I didn't run the race in vain. I wanted to finish it. I wanted to win it. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul's writing to Timothy, right? And like, they're like, kind of like youth pastor and youth group, right? And he's like saying to Timothy, hey, train yourself for godliness. When you think of training, what do you think of?
I think of fighting.
Fighting, okay. So getting ready for a fight, you're training, you're like Rocky, getting ready, yeah.
Training for a horse race,
okay, yeah. So you're out there working. Okay, so a marathon. Yeah, yeah. So, like, you don't think they just wake up and say, hey, today I'm going to run 26 miles? You think they work up to it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So I think they would, like, they would have a big cramp for a week.
Yeah, they'd have a big cramp for a week. You're right. Okay. In Hebrews, the author said this, using the word training again. Okay, so, but trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Isn't that interesting? Like training and recognizing what's good and what's evil. In 1 Corinthians, it talks about runners run the race. In 2 Timothy again, like this Paul and Timothy relationship, an athlete is not crowned unless he completes according to the rules. Right? If you're in a race and you cheat, so like let's say we're doing a marathon, and I go and I hide a little scooter on the racetrack, like the course that we're going to run, and when I run, I get there, I hop on the scooter, and you know, like pass everyone, and then in the last mile, I throw the scooter in the ditch and I run it, and I'm the first one across the line. They'd be like, "Dude, you cheated," and I'd be like, "I was the first one across the line. What are you talking about?" Like, no, this was a running, there was rules, right? In Acts chapter 20, it says, to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, testifying to the good news of God's grace. See, like if we're talking about rules or whatever, to me, that kind of sounds like a little bit like, what would some of the rules be? Well, the Lord Jesus has given us instructions. Where do you think these instructions are found? In the Bible, right? So it'd be kind of like our rule book for this race that we're in. I like this one. This one's really neat. This is in Galatians chapter 5. You were running a good race. So he's saying to the people who are reading it, hey, you're running a good race, but who cut in on you? What do you think he's talking about? What would happen to you if someone cut in on you? Like Matthew, if you were up here and you're running, okay, and you're running along, and I just come in, I'm like, and I cut in on you. What happens to his race?
He falls over.
Yeah, he stops. Like he's done. Like who cut in on you? Do you hear a bit of this language? Right? It's interesting because I don't know that we often think of our relationship with Jesus as this training thing, as a race. And then back now to 2 Timothy. This is the Paul and Timothy relationship. Paul says to him, he says, this is Paul talking, I have fought the good fight. I've finished the race. And I've kept the faith. What does that sound like to you? Okay, yeah, so like he's probably getting near the end of his life here or something. Like the end is coming up close. And he's like, you know what? I'm happy. I worked hard and I've done the things that God has asked me to do. Now, here's the thing. Just hold that thought. Okay. Do you remember how we were reading in the Bible and it was talking about the disciples and they're discovering Jesus is alive? And it's kind of like a series of events for them to discover. For one of the guys, we read this morning in John, Thomas, it was 7 days later before Thomas actually saw Jesus. And do you know how long Jesus was with the disciples after he rose from the dead? Any guesses? Do you think it was like a month? Pardon? 3 weeks? Yeah, it was actually longer. In Acts, it says it was 40 days. 40 days Jesus hung out with them. And, pardon? Yeah, it was like over a month, right? because there's like 30 days in a month, and so 40 would be over a month. And Jesus hung out with them and interacted with them, and he taught them about the kingdom of God. So it was like before his crucifixion, they all think he's going to become the king, right? And they're like, yeah, he's going to be the king, and yeah, yeah, yeah. And then he dies, and they're like, what? This isn't going the way we thought. Like, even before his crucifixion, a couple of the guys came to Jesus, and they said, hey, Jesus, when you're king, make the two of us sit at your right and your left, okay? You know, like they wanted to, he's going to have all the power. They saw that. He has all the power. He's going to win. We want to be seated beside him. They die, or Jesus has died, and they're like, what? I don't get this. And then he raises from the dead, and he starts hanging out with them and teaching them about the kingdom of God and the way things are supposed to be. And then at the end of that, in Acts chapter 1, it talks about Jesus going up to heaven, right? And Jesus says, guys, I want you to tell everyone. I want you to go everywhere and tell everyone about me and all the things that I've commanded you, and make them my disciples. Give them the opportunity to believe. Enter into their life. Tell them about me. Do what I did with you for the last 3 years. Oh, and also the next thing he did, he was like, and I'm sending you a helper. This is huge. He said, and it was 10 days later, he's like, go back and just wait. The helper is going to come. And the helper comes on this day called Pentecost. And maybe we can get into that another time, of just the timing of that. But they saw Jesus ascend, and Jesus said, I'm going to come back, right? And so it's like they're all sitting here, and say, I was Jesus. And it's like, so go into all the world, preach the... Yeah, like, it probably wasn't like that, right? But it's like, and it says he ascended up into heaven, he goes up, and they're all watching, right? And it's like, he just floats up, and he disappears, right? And they all just, like, stay there. And they're all just watching, waiting. And then finally, like, some angels came, right? Like, Jesus is like, can you tell them to get going? Like, they gotta leave, right? So some angels came down, like, hey guys, you're supposed to, like, go. Just go. He'll come back, don't worry about it. And they're like, okay, right? And then they go and they wait. And then the Holy Spirit comes 10 days later. Now, remember before Jesus died, during his trial, one of the disciples was asked, he tried to sort of follow the trial and stay close by. And people were like, aren't you one of Jesus' disciples? Are you like, you're with Jesus, aren't you? And what did he say?
No.
No. And that didn't just happen once, but it happened 3 times, okay? The rooster crowed, that's right. And this happened 3 times. And when it happened the 3rd time and the rooster crowed, he was like, oh, I'm such a coward, you know? I messed up. This is awful. In Acts... Now, after the Holy Spirit comes, after they spend 40 days with Jesus, this same Peter is before the Sanhedrin, okay? Sorry, I'm just trying to find where I wrote this down. Okay? And in Acts chapter 4, Peter and John, they're before the Sanhedrin. So these are the religious people, the people who did the trial for Jesus, decided he's dead. And, Peter and John, they're preaching in Jesus' name. They're telling everyone Jesus is alive. They're not afraid of anyone. They don't want anyone to miss the details. And these religious leaders said, okay, no more. You can't talk about this anymore. We're going to kill you if you do this. And Peter and John are like, well, we could listen to you, but then we wouldn't be listening to God, to Jesus, who told us to go tell everyone. Or we could listen to God and obey him, and then we wouldn't be obeying you. What do you think they chose?
To listen to God.
Isn't that interesting that Peter, before, afraid to identify himself with Jesus, and then, like, basically, like, 2 months later, he's willing to stand up in front of everyone and say, he's alive. You guys killed him, but he's alive. And then begins this journey of the church growing and starting. And this conversation of like training, running the race, don't give up, persevere. And then I think you know this too, like persecution started happening to the early church, to the disciples, okay? Because there's starting to be like a few thousand of them were all like, yeah, Jesus is alive, Jesus is alive. And so in Jerusalem, it's making a lot of noise and ruckus, and people didn't want to lose their power, didn't want to lose peace anymore. And persecution started. And there's this young guy who comes in, and he starts making sure people are throwing rocks at the Christians, you know? Killing some of them. Saying, you got to give this up. This isn't true. And they're like, it's true, man. I hung out with him. I saw him dead, then I saw him alive. It's true. Okay, we're just going to kill you. I'm not afraid of death. Jesus was dead and then he's alive. And he said, if I follow him, I don't need to be afraid of death. So kill me. I don't, like, this guy Saul, he was on this rampage, right? And then he comes in at Acts like chapter 8, chapter 9, okay? He gets this group of people together. He's like, we're going to a new city, boys. Got this uprising happening in Damascus. Let's go. And on the way there, who does he meet? Jesus. And a bit of his world blew up because he had to realize, I thought you were dead. I was told you were dead. People were saying you were alive, but I didn't believe it, but you are alive. And Paul goes on this conversion of like, where he goes from this person who's persecuting the church to a person who is preaching the church and going all over the world that he knew at that time, planting churches. So why do you think this happened? Why do you think the disciples couldn't keep quiet? They're so excited. They wanted to see him. Yeah, see Jesus again? Yeah, totally. That's great, Todd. Yeah. They were so excited they couldn't keep it in anymore. Pastor Gary's been talking this series on love the last couple weeks. Like, love beyond betrayal, love everyone, love unsearchable, unifying love. Love by listening to understand. Love by bringing the divine. It's these very practical ways for us to live our faith. And it's so easy for me, maybe for you too, to get caught up in the actions and the duty. And this is what I got to do. So I got to read my Bible. I got to pray. I don't know why I pray today, but I'm praying, you know. I'm going to eat a sandwich, so I'm going to pray, you know? But if Jesus is alive, that changes everything. And if we've been asked to run a race, so if I'm going to go run a race, which shoes should I put on? Just say it, yeah. The running shoes. Why wouldn't I wear the boots, Daniel? They're too heavy, right? Like, so if I'm running a race, like there's the right time to wear the boots. But if I'm running a race, I'm going to be tired 10 steps down the road. I want to wear my shoes. Why not the flip-flops? They're light.
They're going to fall off.
Fall off, blisters, all that kind of stuff, right? Another thing that I like about this race thing too, guys, When I was looking at this, it doesn't say when you get to a certain age, run the race. It doesn't say that. Or it doesn't say when you get to a certain age, stop running the race. But it's this image of us all running a race. When you start following Jesus, it's like maybe we're all just kind of wandering around, doing whatever. It's like, yeah, you know, I'm going to go kick that tree today. You know, I don't know. Like, and we're all just kind of wandering around. And then it's like, someone comes over and says, hey, do you know about Jesus? Well, what are we talking about? Like, I've heard his name. No, like, Jesus has come. that we might have life. Really? Like a life better than this? Much better than this. This is just a precursor. This is the beginning of eternity. And what we do now is going to impact eternity. You need Jesus because he's made things right between you and the Father. Really? Yeah. Like God cares about you and he loves you and he knows you and he wants to have an intimate relationship with you. Well, how do I do that? Through Jesus. Well, what am I supposed to do? You're supposed to run to Jesus. Run that way. But like, I was going to go kick that tree. You know? No. Jesus is that way. We're supposed to run and bring as many people along. And we start going. And we're all at different spots in this race. And we're all not running the exact same race. Did you hear that? The race isn't the exact same for all. We all have the same destination. We all have the same coach. We all have the same rule book. But it's going to look different for all of us. Because it's beautiful and messy at the same time. And just like for hockey, you have coaches. You're going to need people coaching you in this kind of race and cheering you on. You're not meant to do this alone. And there's no pass to get out of the race. Like, and what I mean by that is I don't think we age out of the race. I don't think, oh, I get sick, now I'm out of the race. I don't really have any useful talents, you're out of the race. My job's more important. No. It seems like the race is the important thing. And all these other things are cool and helpful or distracting or hard. There are circumstances in which we run the race sometimes. So Joel, you might be a doctor or lawyer. Maybe you'll be a piano player in a band. I don't know. You know? Josh, maybe you're going to ride mountain bikes your whole life. Maybe you're going to go and do a street ministry that no one else can do. You know, we don't know what kind of life you're going to live, but it's going to live different. But we're all have the same race that we're running. I'm wrapping up now, so you guys are doing really good. No, just wait. You can't leave yet. You sit down, Matthew. One of the things I thought was really neat, you guys, when I was getting ready for this, you know how I said Jesus was with the disciples for 40 days?
Yeah.
And I was trying to think, okay, so what if there's some people here this morning who are thinking, Darren, I've been a Christian for 30 years. I've been doing this. And it's just the same, same old, same old. And I was trying to think, what would I say to them to try to encourage them? And you know what came to my mind? Was Jesus was with the disciples for 40 days. And I don't think it's a magical number or anything like that. I don't think that. But I think it was like this intense time of like, hey guys, this is important. You know? You need to search me out. And so like in that looking for the risen Jesus is alive. I haven't seen him. Thomas is like, it's been 7 days. You guys keep saying he's alive. I haven't seen him. I think you're all just playing a joke on me. It's not until I touch him with my own hands that I'm actually going to believe. That's what Thomas said. I'm going to touch him. I'm going to put my hand in his scars. Then maybe I'll believe. But they all were searching for Jesus at the beginning. And then he was known to all of them. He proved to them that he was alive. Sometimes there's a bigger group that he was even with. But the interest, and people were like, I want Jesus. So I was thinking, maybe if someone was like, I don't know, Darren, I'm just tired. I need something fresh. I think I would say, you got to search for Jesus. And I think that's going to cost you something. I think it's going to cost you time. I think it's going to cost you probably your routine. Disrupt things a little bit. Because Jesus wants to enter into our lives. He wants to come to where we are and say, Because he doesn't want us all to become, okay, now you're going to become a pastor. Now you should come to the church all the time. No, he wants to enter into our life. So I was thinking, if someone was in a spot where they're like, what do I do, Darren? I think you should grab some people around you. People who are mature in their faith. And you might come to someone and you might say, hey, I'm struggling with my faith. Can we take some time, take a month together, 40 days together, every day checking in with each other, keep each other accountable, reading, praying, maybe even, I've got this study, walking as Jesus walked. Could we do this together? And I really believe when we get intentional and we start searching Jesus in a way that actually shows it, it's more than just like a prayer, I believe we find him. Sometimes I think serving others leads us to Jesus. This is what I want to say before the worship team comes back. How do I know that Jesus is alive? There's this guy I like reading sometimes. His name's called Francis Chan, and he said this first, but I really like it. He says, I pray and things happen. Do you guys hear that? Because sometimes when I pray, hey, you can come sit down. Sometimes when I pray, things happen. And do you know what I mean? I mean, like, I sometimes I'm praying for you guys, for the youth group, and I'm like, God, you need to show up tonight. You need to show up, and you need to keep their hearts soft. You need to change something here. And you know what? I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen as I've gotten to know you junior high guys. I've seen it happen in our senior high group. And it's amazing. I've seen it happen in individuals. I've seen it happen in my kids' lives. In Emery and Jatea. Even Cammy. But I've seen when I pray for them and I'm like, God, I need you to do something in Emery's life right now. And I pray for him. And God answers my prayer. It's not that I'm doing something. I've seen God, I've seen Jesus in my marriage with my wife and Shauna and I. Sometimes I'm like, oh, Lord, I just need you to show up right now. I don't know how to get through this. I need your help. And I see him show up. Sometimes it's stuff I have to deal with. It's not like it's a magic wand, guys. I'm not saying it's like a Santa Claus thing or where it's like, God changed, he changed things for me. But it's when I press into him and say, God, in my own life, I've been struggling and it's been hard. I need one victory. I need you to show up in one small way. And you know what? He does. He really, really does. Because he is alive. The worship team can come on up.
Let's all stand for our closing song, Christ Arose.